Mother of God, you are kidding. You must be kidding me. I'm 89 years old. How am I supposed to have a child at 89 years old? The Bible says in verse 13, Genesis 18, 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Interesting, huh? Whatever you try, sometimes when you read God's word and you start to, are you sure or not? God actually sees even that attitude. Because that's where, in verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, how shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And what did God say in verse 14? Let's read just the first statement question together. Genesis 18, 14. Just the first statement question. Alright, ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's pray. You know, ask God to speak in our hearts, right? Let's pray. Father, we look into this passage right now. A passage that happened 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. Father, a situation that you were interacting with a husband and a wife. Lord, there's something that in their lives was always a problem. They couldn't have a child. Yeah, they had Ishmael, but that was not your will, Lord. But right now, you are specifically telling them they are going to have a child in their old age. And Lord, even as we reflect on this, sometimes we do look at a situation and we actually will also ask the question, is it possible, Lord? And then God, in thy word, it's not just in Genesis 18, 14, but in multiple passages in the Bible, you repeat the same principle. Is there anything too hard for me? Father, help us. Help us to see today there is nothing, Lord, that is impossible for you. And God, that when we put our faith in you, you will bring things to pass. Encourage every believer today in this passage. And that God, we will have a firm conviction in our hearts, though we may not see it now, but help us to, with spiritual eyes, see that nothing is impossible for the God I love. The God that created the heavens and the earth. There is nothing too hard for you. So God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah 32, which is a theme verse. Jeremiah 32. Verse 17 to 19, which is the theme verse for our prayer retreat, having power with God. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 to 19. Let's read the three verses together, okay? Jeremiah 32, verse 17 to 19. Let's read together. Okay, ready? One, two. Are we all there? You ready? Jeremiah 32, verse 17 to 19. Let's read together, ready? One, to go. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth with thy great power and the stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. The theme of Jeremiah 32, verse 17, or rather the theme of our prayer retreat, is having power with God. And I just want to go through this passage, which is actually our theme verse. The Bible says, our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. We see the power of God in his creation. I think we all know that. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, God is very powerful because we can see it in his creation. But if we actually stop and think what God actually does in his creation. In Singapore, you see one perspective. In Singapore, it's good that everything is green. And there are some isolated flowers here and there. But in New Zealand, you will see flowers everywhere. Different colors, multiple colors. those of us who are born overseas, the spring and the flowers that blossom and is bloom is very different from Singapore. Singapore is all Singaporean made. Okay, not all, right? Those at the roadside is only just white or one color, but we go overseas like Australia and all these places, the whole meadow of just different colors, just multiple colors, just beautiful sight. Okay? In the power of creation, in the creation, we see God's power. And the Bible says here in verse 17, there is nothing too hard for thee. That's what Jeremiah said. Then in verse 18, Jeremiah goes on to illustrate part of God's power. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. How did he show loving kindness to thousands? Any idea? How did God show his loving kindness to thousands? Some things that come to my mind. He showed his loving kindness to thousands of Israelites when they were in the land of Egypt by showing the 10 plagues. Okay, God told them, I'm going to bring you out from Egypt into the promised land. And he showed the power of the 10 plagues. Okay? Children, tell me two plagues among the 10 plagues. What are the two plagues? Can you remember? Sorry? What red cow?
The red
cow. A red now. Okay, change the river now to blood. Okay, what else?
Frogs.
What frogs? A lot of frogs. A lot of frogs. That would be good, right? We got frog legs. Huh?
Okay. When they
die, yeah. When they die, the Bible says that what? They all gather into big heaps, they all stink. Okay. Joy, what? Another plague, can you remember? Okay, the Passover. Okay, that was the killing of the firstborn. Okay, what else? Which?
Locust.
Just one thing, one. Locust, okay. Locust.
Cover the sky.
Cover the sky. And what else?
Hailstorms
of
fire.
How can fire and hail, how can hail, have you seen hail before? You know it's hail? Hail is like small pieces of ice. But the Bible says hailstorms of fire. Hailstorm and fire mixed. So you think of ice and fire together. You know what's interesting? When God showered, or when God judged Egypt with the plagues, the Israelites didn't get it. Or rather, it didn't affect the Israelites. The land of Goshen, where the Israelites were not affected by the 10 plagues. You read the Bible carefully. So when there was darkness in Egypt, in Israel, it was all light. When all the flies flew, it's like at least the flies knew as they fly, oh, cannot go there, shh, all go to Egypt. Alright? Diseases, okay, the cattle died. Okay, then there were diseases on men, the boils, alright, the affected men. Alright? And there was darkness. Our darkness was so thick that people can feel darkness. You can see darkness. Can you see darkness? You can. Alright? You can't see anything. Man. But you know, the darkness is so thick that you can feel it. But you know, in Egypt, in Goshen, it was so bad. God showed his kindness to the Israelites, the thousands. What other, just after he came out, what was the biggest kindness that God showed the children of Israel? Sorry? He opened the Red Sea. I always like this illustration, I was studying it. The Red Sea in front, Pharaoh behind, and both sides of mountains. They had no way out. And all the people started shouting at Moses, Moses, you brought us here to die in the wilderness. And Moses said what? Stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. In other words, basically Moses said, just keep quiet. God is going to do something. And what did God tell Moses to do? Put the rod and touch the water. What happened? The Red Sea opened. Can you imagine Red Sea open? Can you imagine the Singapore River open? And then Ethan, you can walk over. Over the other side. Or maybe say, oh, I can play soccer in the Red Sea. Or something like that. Opening of the Red Sea, and apparently the width of the Red Sea is not, it's probably about 1 to 2 kilometers wide open, and about 24 to 28 or 30 kilometers across. God opened that with his powerful hand. And he showed kindness. Why? Because he knows that if he doesn't do that, what happened to the Israelites? They all died. Because Pharaoh wanted to deal with them. Okay? What other kindness? What other kindness did God show to Israel after he passed the Red Sea? Give them manna. Okay, give them food to eat. Give them water to drink. Okay. Do you realize what happened in in Exodus chapter 14, the Red Sea opening? Do you know when did the Israelites start complaining? Exodus chapter 15. Immediately after 15:16, they started complaining. No water to drink. Immediately after they saw the goodness of God, they started complaining. Sometimes as Christians, we are quick to forget God's goodness. Okay, let's not be forgetful. But the Bible says there is nothing too hard for God. He showed loving kindness unto thousands. And the second part, he recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children unto them. What does that mean? It means that God is powerful to bless, but God is powerful to judge as well. And we see that when Korah and the brethren rebelled against God, Moses, what did God do to Korah? He opened the ground. Can you imagine going and swallow straight into hell? Okay? So God recompense through his great power also the sins of the people. Alright? And looking at verse 19, he is great in counsel. The word great in counsel has the idea of his wisdom is great. He knows what to do. You know, sometimes in our lives we don't know what to do, but God does. Amen. God does. We can think, oh, it's a hopeless case. God always has a plan. Can I encourage us? Whatever situations we are at, and we find that it seems that things are going to come to a place that we have no more hope, our God always has a plan. Amen. We may not know the plan. We may not even think the plan is workable, but God always has a plan. And God's always plan is always perfect. He knows what to do at what time and how. So that's where we look at God's power. His power to bless, his power to judge, his power in terms of his counsel. And then you look at verse 19 also, and mighty in work. I think we give an illustration of the mighty work that God has done in the life of Joshua, for example. Alright, the bringing down the walls of Jericho, that was the work of God. Joshua, all he did was obey. Just walk around. Can you imagine as a commander? Say, guys, we're going to conquer Jericho. Okay, what are we going to do? We're all our swords are ready, our soldiers are ready. What are we going to do? We're just going to walk around the wall. Say, huh? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we walk around one time. So what's going to do the last day? We walk around seven times. Huh? Nothing happened. But you know what God says? You just follow. Let me do what I need to do. Remember, I think it was on Sunday I mentioned, let God be God. Let God be God. Let's not try to interfere in the power of God. All God asks us to do is obey Him. And that was what Joshua did. God brought down the walls of Jericho. Okay, He brought down the walls of Jericho. And apparently the walls of Jericho fell inwards. The Bible tells us. Okay? And it's interesting, so that as advancing Israel, all they have to go in and mop up. Get all the things up. Mop the hours. So all they had to do was go in and collect the loot. And this, but you know what the next city was? AI. What happened there? Because of a sin, they lost. They were clobbered. And God had to deal with certain things in there. And so God is mighty in work. In one night, God killed 185 soldiers. Okay, and delivered the children of 185,000 soldiers. Okay, remember King Hezekiah? Alright, Rabshakeh, came, the general came and threatened and insulted. And God says, this guy is not going to go home. The king is not going to, and when he goes back, he will be killed. And God dealt with the soldiers. He dealt with the king and he delivered in one night. Alright? The king Hezekiah and Israel. So the answer is there anything too hard for us? For God? You know, as Christians, we have to settle this question in our hearts. Unbelief, fear will always say, cannot earn. Faith will always say, there's nothing too hard for my God. And sometimes in our modern day, practical, pragmatic Singaporean society, that kind of thinking is weird. You know, there's always a cause, there's always a problem. But are we as Christians able to have peace in our hearts to say that, I know that my God can. It's just how He wants to do it. And I'm willing to trust Him. Okay? I want to show you three things that is not hard for God. Okay? Nothing, firstly, is too hard for the Lord in fulfilling His promises. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Nothing is too hard for the Lord in fulfilling His promises. Luke 1, 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. We'll start with verse 36, then we finish at verse 37, okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 36 and 37, ready? Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Okay? We ask the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the first point is, nothing is too impossible, nothing is too hard for God to fulfill His promises. Okay? God promised Zechariah and Elizabeth, you will have a son in their old age. And God fulfilled His promise. And here, the angel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Even to have Mary conceive the Savior. Mary actually had to ask, how shall it be? I have not known any man. I've not slept with anyone. How can I have a child? You know what? The Bible says, God says, I will fulfill my promise to send a Savior into this world, and there is nothing impossible for me. Nothing. When God has a will for us, or rather when God promises us something, God can fulfill that promise. And we need to believe that. The Bible tells us, can you tell me some promises that God has given to us already? What are some promises that you can think of that God has already promised? Anyone?
Our new place.
Okay, our new place. That's actually an evidence of God's promise. But then what? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Yes? Do we believe God can? Do we believe God can? Sure. Because God says, if I say I can provide your needs, I will. Remember, the meaning, the definition once again of promise means what? Promise is binding on the person. That means if I make a promise, I am responsible to fulfill it. But it's also, the person receiving it can expect me to give it to him. So when God says, I will provide your needs, God actually binds Himself to His word. I say that again. When God says, I promise to provide for you, God actually binds Himself to His word. And we can expect Him to provide. But you know, sometimes our faith gets interrupted. I'm here to tell you from God's word, nothing is too hard for God fulfilling His promises. God can fulfill His promise, number one. Number two, nothing is too hard for the Lord in fulfilling His will for our lives. Nothing is too hard, nothing is impossible for the Lord to fulfill His will in our lives. In Genesis 18, just now we saw, God says you are going to have a son. My will for you is to have a son in your old age. And of course, you must be kidding. The situation is against me. I'm old. Let's turn to Romans. Let's turn to Romans and see. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 18. Romans 4:18. Okay, Romans 4:18. This is one of the most fantastic passages about faith. And it's probably a model that God puts in the Bible for us with regards to believing the impossible that God can do. By the way, for us it's impossible, with God it's always possible. Right? Okay? It's just that what we think is impossible. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, who, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. That's crazy. You know it's not going to happen. Already you know it's impossible, but you still believe in it. that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was what? Spoken, according to the word of God. In verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. It wasn't even a consideration for Abraham. Or initially it was, but over time when faith set in, he removed the impossible already. Yeah, I know I cannot produce children, but I know God can. That was his premise. Alright? And then when he was about 100 years old, neither he had the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, I cannot produce children. Sarah is a good woman, but you know, 90 years old are not possible. The Bible says that he even removed that. He removed the impossibility. But he said, Sarah can't, I can't, but God can. That's the premise of faith. And you know, God actually did that to fulfill his will in Abraham's life. And God can do that based on the scriptures consistently. God will do the impossible to fulfill his will for our lives. Some things that we don't even think can happen. But God says, look, if that's my will for you, I can do it. And that's encouraging, because there are many things in our lives we find, God, you say, you know, many Christians will, God, I know you say this, but God, I don't think it's going to happen. That's unbelief. And you believe, if you don't believe it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. God says, you need to come to him, believe him, and trusting him. Alright, third point very quickly. Luke chapter 18 and verse 27. This hopefully is an encouragement for many who are praying for their unsaved loved ones. Luke 18:27. Let's read from verse number 24 to 27, and then we can see the context. Okay? Luke 18:24 to 27. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They that heard this said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. There is nothing too hard for the Lord in the salvation of unsaved people. We need to absolutely believe in that, because that's what God says. It may be impossible for us to reach someone now, but God said, things that are impossible for you is possible with me. Humanly, you cannot do it, but I can. And that is very clear from God's word. Okay? Nothing is too hard for the Lord in the salvation of unsaved people. We are looking at our loved ones. Loved ones who resist the gospel. Loved ones who don't even want to consider Christ. God says, what is impossible for you is possible with me. Remember, we learned this one yesterday about faith. If we believe that God wants to save our parents, we need to keep on praying. And one thing I believe very much, I always ask, God, you do for us what we cannot do ourselves. God, you do for us what we cannot do ourselves. And it's so important for us to understand that. That's the reason why God gave us prayer. We are limited. But God says, you come to me in prayer and expecting me to fulfill, I will. The Bible says, well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But they that cometh to him must believe that he is. And it's a rewarder. In other words, you don't come to God and by faith, God, I believe you, but not too sure whether you can do it. You actually come to God by faith, that God will not only, we have to come to him by faith, but we also need to believe that whatever God says, he's going to do. And he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. If you come to him once or twice and forget about it, then God says, might say you're not so diligent. And I believe as a church, individuals, we are not receiving as much blessings as we would like to, simply because maybe we don't spend enough time diligently seeking him. Okay? God says, if you come to me, you must believe that I am. Some people say that's blind faith. No, we have seen the evidence of God's power. It's not blind faith. We are coming to someone whom we know can fulfill his promises, can do his will, and can save our loved ones. And so that's something that we have to settle in our minds as Christians as we grow. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's not just about standard answer for children, like say, no, nothing is too hard. But we need to also practicalize it in our life. We need to say, okay, Lord, there's an impossible situation, I think now. But God, I know that you can do it. And sometimes we find that we call ourselves crazy. Maybe when we do that, we are thinking humanly. But the Bible is very clear. If you come to God, you must believe that. Okay, there's nothing too hard for God. And may God settle this in his heart. Because unbelief is a very serious thing that hinders the Christian life. When we have unbelief about God, the Bible says Jesus did not many works in a city because of unbelief. And in the same way, God is not able to do a lot of things in our life. God is not going to do a lot of things in the best of when there's unbelief. If you want power with God, it's actually a very simple thing. Just be like Sarah. Be like Esther Joy. Be like Quichi. Just simply trust their parents. Just simply trust. That I don't know all that's happening, but I know that my Heavenly Father is able to take care of me, and He will do it because He's concerned for me. Okay? The question we need to ask ourselves, do we find something that is too hard for us now? That when we look at it, we kind of keep saying, cannot lah, cannot lah, cannot lah. But you know that God wants you to move forward. We need to ask ourselves, is there anything hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Humanly speaking, there are many things very hard for us. It's very hard for me to play soccer now also because of my knee. Okay? But soccer is a side issue. But I do believe God will sustain me as long as I need to serve Him. And it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. But I know also at that time, God says, okay, time's up, it's finished. You're coming home. Right? But in the meantime, let's be faithful. Okay, any questions? So children, as you grow up, there are many things. If you say, well, Papa, Mama want me to live for God. How to live for God? All my friends are not living for God and all that. Well, you know what you need to have the thinking? If God wants me to live for Him, He will enable me. And then He will give me the strength. So children, as you grow up, remember, you can live for God. You can live for God. Alright, and as parents, we can bring up godly children. Let's trust God. Let's help one another as well. Alright? Any questions? So, well, let's take some prayer requests first. But let's pray first. Let's pray first. Alright, let's pray. Father, we come before you to just humbly acknowledge, Lord, our unbelief in perhaps some areas of our lives. The Lord many times hinder us from complete fellowship and complete following of Christ. Lord, we ask you to forgive us that although you have given us such clear evidence of your power, such clear evidence, Lord, of your magnificent majesty and your ability and your creativity, Lord, in solving problems, in dealing with enemies, and in overcoming sin in our lives. But Lord, even after you've done all that, after you've opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel, Lord, immediately they complain. Father, help us never to complain against a loving God. Help us never, Lord, to have this spirit of complaining when things happen in our lives. And God, we will just look at you and thank you that, Lord, even in things that may seem bad, we thank you, you always have a plan. And because we are your children, Lord, your plan is always for our good. Father, we're asking you, Lord, to teach us, help us to learn to trust you. And God, to answer this biblical question, is there anything too hard for you? Lord, we know there is nothing too hard for you. And help us in our hearts to fully, Lord, understand this and then pray by faith with regards to what you have us to learn. And we'll thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.